Amen. Acts chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, and you should have your Bibles, you came to church. Amen. So grab your Bibles and get to Acts chapter 4 with me. Amen. I want to share in the Word of God. I know we've been ministering, and I've been talking to the church, and I'll be teaching again on Wednesday. Just to reiterate, I got five smooth stones that I'm working on, and each lesson talks and deals with the arms of evangelism that we don't talk about, but that we very much need to make sure that we are ministering to those in our community and those who are around us and those who are in our lives. And sometimes we are in arm reach of a ministry. We're in arm's reach of a harvest field that God has for our lives. But we have to just make sure we are prepared. Amen? Come on, not just knowing that we have it, but having a passion and a fervor to say, you know what? It's lost souls there. Amen? And we just watch them go to and fro and here and there, and we don't say a word. Amen? And God's trying to help us to make sure that we are equipped to do this ministry. Amen? Come on, this is a ministry that God has called us all to. He said we are now ministers. Amen? We don't need a title. We don't need somebody's name on the door. I don't need any recognition. All I need to know is that God has saved me, and he wants to use me to save others. Amen? Come on, I've heard one person say, I'm just one beggar trying to tell another beggar how to get food. Amen? Come on, if we can get to Jesus, Jesus can make it all right. Amen? So we just want to make sure we are equipped. And as I do this series, part one and two, make sure you get the series, and make sure if you are not sure about it, that you reiterate it and get it in your spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I just want to make sure God is getting the glory in these messages. Amen. So Acts chapter 4, if you're there, let me get there with you. Fourth chapter. Look at it, verse 13. Let's start right there. Come on, y'all get there. Say amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Good God Almighty. Come on now. It's something when somebody's been in your presence and been in somebody else's presence, and then realize, and not even thinking about you, but these men said, we've been with Jesus, God Almighty. Come on, now we're serving God, and now we're living with God in the fullness, when our presence makes people feel like, man, I've been with something special, and it feel like Jesus. Come on, somebody. Come on, it will ignite everything around you and everyone around you when your presence illuminates them so much that they say, I've been with you, but they say, I've been with Jesus. Man, I would love for that to happen every time I'm around somebody, that they leave my presence, and John said, your presence make a difference. I said, okay, I take it, amen, that you've been with Jesus. Come on, I love this text because it illuminates how we can live our lives in such a way that people don't just identify with us, but they identify with God. Come on, we don't have to come around talking about hallelujah, bless your brother. We don't have to come with the jargon and the attitude that we're saved. All we have to do is come with the spirit that we are saved. Come on, come with the loving kindness and the tender mercies that God has. Come with the grace and the mercy that God has. And people will know, you ain't just judging me. You're not just rude to me, but you really love me. And God, I know the presence of Jesus is with them. Come on, it's just something about certain people that give you a good feeling. Amen? When you've been around them. I don't know about you, but I feel like I've been with Jesus. Come on, when you leave this church, I hope you feel like you've been with Jesus. And I know we have, amen. After all that worship, I feel like I've been with the Lord, amen. That he done came down and touched me in a special way. He changed my mind, changed my attitude, made me feel good too, amen. Come on, I just know it's something about the presence of the Lord. And these men, they thought it was in John and Peter, but the presence of the Lord was coming for them. Come on, I know these men are uneducated, untrained. They didn't have a good message. But I felt something. Come on, it's something when we feel something. Come on, some of y'all might walk out of here, might not have heard a word, and not have know none of part of the sermon, but you felt something. Amen. Come on, sometimes God just want to give you a touch. He want to move you in such a way that your mind changes and your heart changes and you feel better about it. Amen? Come on, I love it when God does that. Come on, he said these men are uneducated and they're untrained. And they were amazed because, gee, they felt like they'd been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed, come on, they saw the witness of this. This man had been healed. Back in Acts chapter 3, we know the story. He was with them testifying, and they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. See, Satan always plotting, saying, what shall we do? What we going to do to them? They causing havoc up in here. So what will we do with these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident. Come on, somebody. It's evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. Come on, not just in the hallway, but in the whole city, everybody heard about this. And the scripture says, and we cannot deny it. I love it. Here it is, verse 17. But so that it spreads no further. See, the enemy don't want it to go any further. He don't want your sermon to leave past these doors. He don't want your changed attitude to move past these doors. He don't want your changed heart to go any further than right here. He does everything he can. Come on, this is no different. He said, I don't want this to spread any further among the people. Let us severely threaten them. Hear that. That from now on, they speak to no one, no man, in this name. Come on. Whoa! So they called them and commanded them not to speak. Not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of... Woo! Come on. They had to do something to them on the inside. Because God just pulled them out, showed them their destiny, put a call on their life, filled them with the Holy Ghost, and now you're telling me, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. Don't say nothing else about this man and speak or teach in the name of Jesus. Come on, how do they deal with that? They just got their call, just got commission, just got filled with the Holy Ghost to spread this gospel, and now you're telling me, shut up. They commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. What else can we do? Come on, I love what Peter and John said. They answered them and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you, come on, more than God, you judge. Come on, am I going to give it up for God or am I going to give it up for you? I think I'm going to choose God, amen? Look what they said. For we cannot but speak the things, hear this church, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. See, that's why it's not really about how we learn and what we've learned. It's about what we've experienced in our life. See, sometimes people can argue and talk about things, about who God is and what he means to you, but guess what? I got an experience. I know what he did to me. Come on, he picked me up, turned me around, put my feet on solid ground. Come on, I can tell you that. I can teach you some scriptures. I can show you the Bible. But one thing I can't show you was my experience. Come on, that's how we get our anointing. That's how God raises us up and shows us his glory, is through our experiences. Come on, sometimes our experience is not all good. Come on, I had to cry sometimes. Come on, I had to let it go sometimes. Come on, I've been at wit's end sometimes. Because I don't know which way I'm going and which way I was going. But then there's the experience that God showed up in my life. That's why the man with the argument is never greater than the man with the experience. I know what the Lord did for me. Amen. Come on, if you don't know, you need to know today. Amen. What the Lord can do for your life. Come on, it's nothing like the experiences that we've had in God. That's all Peter and John said. That's all they were saying. Say, we were at the mountaintop. Come on, we seen the glory cloud when he went up. We seen the miracles. We saw the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000. Come on, we saw the fire, clove tongues that filled the room. We heard the tongues speak. And now you telling me to shut up? I don't think so. Come on, an experience. Come on, sometimes we count our negativity and the things that we go through as things that God has not allowed in our lives. But God has allowed some things in our lives so that we have the experience. Come on, God has put me through some things, showed me some things, hurt me some ways, so that I have the experience to preach to you. So that I have the life to follow you and tend to you. Amen? God did that. Come on, he allowed the brokenness. He allowed the hardships. He allowed the things that made my head spin, like, where am I at here? He allowed them things because one day he knew I needed the anointing and the experience to deal with some people to say, shut up. You ain't going to shut me up. I'm still going to talk about the Lord. You might mess me up. You might chop me up. You might beat me up. But you ain't going to shut me up. Amen? Come on, because we have an experience with God. Come on, I remember when. Amen? Come on, we got to know and to cherish those experiences. Come on, although they've been hardships, but God brought you through. Look at you now. Come on, although you didn't like it, God brought you through. Look at you now. Come on, look at you now. Come on, though you couldn't think about it before, and you couldn't make it through before, and you always cried about it and whined about it, but look at you now. Amen? Come on, God allows these experiences so that when we meet hardships and we meet walls and we meet people that want to shut you up, well, I ain't shutting up nothing, amen? Because of what God has done for me, amen? Come on, somebody ought to just praise him right now and thank him for what he's done for you. I don't know about you, but thank you, Father, for what you've done for me, amen? Come on, you allowed me another day to praise you, another day to honor you, God. Another day to give you praise. Come on, we just want to shout about it. Come on, we go through some things. And sometimes we go through them things because some things want to shut us up. But I ain't finished talking about Jesus. Amen? We thank you, Lord. Come on, we've been through some things. Minister Jeff just been through the hospital this week. Come on, John been in the hospital this week. Come on, Govance is on his way to the hospital right now. Come on, see, sometimes when God attacks it and some things happen in our life, it's to try to bring us out. Come on, it's trying to tear us down and shut us up. But we got to keep our voice, amen? And we got to keep talking about the Lord, amen? Come on, we got to make sure that we do that for the glory of God. Come on, that one verse, we cannot but speak of the things which we have what? And, come on, what you listening to? And what have you seen? Come on, usually you following that pattern of what you seen and what you heard. Come on, if you've seen some great things in God, you better act like it. Come on, don't act like you're a stranger to his miracles, to his signs and wonders. I love that song. Come on, don't act like we're strangers to it. Because God wants to do those things in our life on a regular. But sometimes we block them because of our intellect. Because we always want to figure something out. No, I just want to roll with the Spirit. Because the Spirit comes and goes. I don't know where it's going. And I don't know where it's coming from. But I know it's here in my life. Amen? Come on, we just got to experience the Spirit of God. And some people are intimidated by that because the Spirit of God gives you no control. Because we got a lot of control freaks. Come on, y'all. Y'all know, y'all, we control freaks. Want to make it my way or no way? Come on, God ain't like that. He can move and he can turn this table whichever way he chooses. And God, we got to be willing to say, it's your will and not my will. So that we can see the glory of God. Come on, so we can see it. Come on, we might hear about it sometimes. But God wants us to just see it and hear it. That so that experience changes our life. So that we're not the same. Amen? Come on, it's something about going to church. But it's something about being the church and having church. Amen? Come on, because I want to experience God. Come on, a good message is good. But a great touch from God is better. It is better. Come on, so we just want to receive from God. Whatever he wants to say, God, here's your servant. I am listening. So speak to us. So when they, verse 21, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go. People can't hold you when you got a witness. They can't hold you. They can say what they want, do what they want, but they cannot hold you. He says, so finding no way of punishing them, because they wanted to whoop them, you know they did. Because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had done. For the man was over 40 years old whom they healed, this miracle healing, and had performed it. And being let go, they went down their own way to their own companions and reported all to the chief priests and the elders who had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. Hear that, church. Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant, hear that, he don't take no credit. By the mouth of your servant David, he said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against the Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, we gathered together to do whatever your hand, listen to this church, whatever your hand and your purpose determine before it to be done. See, God already got a pre-planned work for us. Ephesians 2:10. You can write that down. See, so verse, now the Lord look on their threats and grant to your service that with all boldness that they may speak your word. Hear that, church. I just want to speak this over you. By stretching out your hand. Thank you, Jerome. You're good. And just heal. And that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Hear that? And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled. Come on, somebody say filled. I know we don't like to say it, but filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what happened. And then they were able to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. See, there's two key components here that God wants us to see through our text. And I wanted to cover it all. Because first of all, we need to know that hardship comes to even the best of us. Come on, Peter and John, they did something amazing. This man was 40 years old and never walked. And they said, we don't have money to give you, but look what we can give you is the anointing that we got from Jesus the Christ. And by his spirit, be raised whole in Jesus' name. And the man who never walked, you said, who never walked for 40 years, the Bible says, gained strength to his legs. And not only did he begin to walk, but he began to leap and get his joy on, amen? Come on, and they performed a great miracle, and the people started hearing about it because the man went to church with them, and things were different, and people knew, who is this Jesus? And then they wanted to stop him. So hardship came to these men who was doing a good work. Come on, Jesus warned them, and Jesus told them to be diligent in what they do, but why do I have to go through this? Come on, in the beginning of the text, it said that they gathered them and put hands on them. That means they whooped them a little bit and got them in the middle of the Sanhedrin and said, you know what? We're tired of you talking about this Jesus. See, what you have to understand in that day, religion meant power. Understanding religion means to mean that you were rulers and you had power over the people. And now this man is coming talking about this Jesus and getting control and gain of people. And the threat was not that Jesus' name is being spread. The threat was now you're gathering all the people. And you're changing their lives. And we got a problem with that. Come on, the same thing happened when Paul and Silas was spreading the gospel and changing people's lives. And the little the little young girl who was a sign teller or a palm reader, whatever she was in the divination, as the scripture said. She was reading their palms and giving their future. And then she realized these men are from the Most High God. And she kept following them, yelling out, these men are from the Most High God. She forgot about reading the poems. She forgot about telling people their futures. She forgot about hoodwinking the people and recognized that these men are from the Most High God. And she couldn't stop following them and talking to them about it and being so proactive about it that Paul got sick of it and said, and rebuked her in the name of Jesus. And the scripture says she got to her right mind. She came to a right mind. She became herself again. And she no longer read palms and did divination. But now she's following Jesus. But the people didn't like that because you mess with my livelihood. Come on, it's the same thing when Jesus in Luke chapter 5, he rebuked the man who was chained up and locked up and in the Gadarenes, and they had to put him in the tombs because he couldn't be around people. And Jesus found him, and the man said, Lord, Lord, he yelled out even in his chains. And Jesus rebuked it. He rebuked the demons in him. And the scripture said it was a legion in him. And if you know your math, a legion is 2,000 demons. Come on, sometimes we have problems with one demon, not alone 2,000, amen? Come on, he was so bad that the 2,000 demons, they had to lock him up away from everybody else. And put him in a place where nobody can be touching and dealing with him. But Jesus found him and said, be set free. He rebuked them demons. Yes. See, but the challenge is, the demon said, don't just send me out. Put me in the swine. And then when they cast him and put him into the swine went crazy. And they went over top of the cliff and drowned themselves. Don't say the spirits ain't still living. The pigs is dead. Don't forget that. The spirit's still living, but the pigs are dead. But guess what it did? It messed up their livelihood. And the people wanted to persecute Jesus. Not because he was spreading the good news. Not because he healed the man. It's because you messed up my money. Come on, don't mess up my money. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, don't mess up my money. Don't mess up my money. You can mess up everybody else or everything else, but don't mess up my money. Come on, y'all looking at me strange. Pastor said that. Pastor said that. Yeah, don't mess up my money. Come on, we got to understand. A lot of what people deal with and what they go through is don't mess up their money. See, that's what they was dealing with. Their livelihood, what they were going through. Come on, Peter and John now had assembled a gathering. And no longer were the money coming to them. It was going to these people. So now we got a problem. So they said, you can do everything, but don't talk about this man and don't teach about this man. See, it's a power struggle. And sometimes we get involved in dealing with people, and sometimes it don't have nothing to do with you talking about Jesus. It got everything to do about their money. So we just got to be careful and be aware, like Paul and Peter and John, that even though we're doing a good work, we still have adversity. Come on, we have challenges. They didn't know where this was coming from. Come on, sometimes we get on our jobs and we go dealing with certain things and get involved with certain activities, and then we meet a spirit, an antichrist spirit. Come on, that happened to me a few years ago when we was here in the church and we was trying to throw something down at what's the name of that? The community? Bonnywood. And I called myself, we had already set it all up, and I called myself going down to the board meeting. Just want to introduce myself. Pastor of the church here, how you doing? And I would go down there to the Bonnywood meeting. It was about 8 or 9, 10 of them, and there was about 3 people in the 8 or 9 of them, about 3 people dealing with a need that they have in the community. And they talked about the crime and this, that, and the other, and everything was going on. And then it was all over, and they said, "Who are you?" I said, "I'm the pastor from down the street, Clinton Christian Assembly." We're a local church. We've been here a couple of years as the pastor of the church, and I know it was young in the church. And I said, "Just want to come down and introduce yourself and let you know that we're going to be having a community event here in a few days." "What community event?" "What? For the community. It's nothing. We don't charge. It's nothing. We're gonna be giving away hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're gonna have a 3-on-3 tournament. And I got one of the trophies here, and I got one of the flyers here. Just want to make you all aware, so you can get behind it. We don't know nothing about that. Who gave you permission to do that?" He'd have turned me sideways now. For real? Well, one of the members or one of the people who live here in the community was able to get us a permission. I got the information here to have this event. "Well, let me see that." That was rough on me. That was pushing me around. "Here you go, sir. It's a free event. There's no charge. We're going to take care of it. We're going to clean it up. We're going to do everything. It's going to be right. We've already put our deposit in. What you want us to do here?" "Well, I got to check it out. What do y'all say?" Yeah, he asked the council. "But we don't know anything about it, so maybe we shouldn't do it." And this would tip me off. "Well, if we let you come in with your religious organization, we might as well let the Ku Klux Klan come in." I said, "For real? Is that bad?" I said, "We want to be a blessing. We don't have hate. We don't have we don't have animosity. We love. Red or yellow, black and white. You oppress it in our sight. We don't have none of that going on." But yet they still had pushback. Pushback. I'm telling you, I was a wounded dog coming out of there, bro. "We'll get back to you. But right now, it's on hold." Come on, we less than 4 weeks away. Maybe 3 weeks away. And they said, we'll let you know. Got a phone call before the next day. "It's off. We can't allow that this time. We'll send your deposit back." And we just trying to be a blessing. See, sometimes you go someplace and you think you're doing good, and then the evil is always present. Come on, there was some animosity there. There were some challenges there. And all it was set to do was to stop us from doing what we wanted to do. And all that was what? Be a blessing. Come on, I don't have no strings attached. I don't have nothing coming my way by doing this, other than letting people know that Jesus is real. But yeah, I walked out of there, okay. See, sometimes that happens in our life. Come on, I can wish and tell you that every story and everything is good, 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 good and plenty. But the reality is sometimes we face some trials. We face some trials. Even though we might be good and we might have a good sermon and a message for the people to hear, it don't mean that evil won't be present. So sometimes we got to deal with adversity in our life, like Peter and John. But the good thing is there's always a breakthrough at the end of the day. Amen? Come on, we still had our event. We just had it out here. Amen? And the people still came. They just came out here. Amen? Come on, so sometimes when the enemy tries to stop and block, he can't block, but he tries to make sure it doesn't happen in our lives. But God gives us a prevailing word. Amen? Come on, so we was able to rejoice even though there was adversity. Amen? Don't tell me it's 3 years later. I'm still feeling it. Amen? Hey, be careful, be careful. Because stuff happened in our life. Amen? But it's an experience. It's things that happen in our life like that that draw me closer to God. That help me understand there is adversary. There is an enemy. There is something called the Antichrist spirit in this world. Come on, if we ignore that and act like that's not going to happen, or it doesn't happen or never happen, then we being fooled. We're being hoodwinked. We're being tripped up and challenged that nothing's going to happen in my life. Amen? But the blessing is on its way. Amen? Come on, there's so many things that happen in life that get our attention, and sometimes it gets our affection in pursuing the true call that God has on our life. See, the adversary throws things our way, and God tests our faith through various trials in our life. So at times, we may be getting it both ways. Come on, we might be getting a double shot. God tests me on one hand, and the enemy trying me on the other. And sometimes we have a double dose of trouble in our life. So even though through all the situations we face, the call of God is still to reach lost souls for Christ. Amen? Come on, if you're taking note, the title of my message today is Striving Through Situations. Come on, striving through situations. Come on, don't let things trip us up. Don't let them count us out because we deal with something or go through something in our life. Come on, we got to go through it. I mean, see the new chair John bought me? Hey, John, just lift your hand, amen. Just lift your hand, man, so they know you did it, amen. Come on, man. There you go. All right. You don't want no more business? Hey, this is a nice chair, and he's just trying to help me out while I strive through this situation, amen. So don't be strange if you see me one day sitting down in a chair. I hope it don't happen, but if it do happen, whoa, this is a nice chair. I can do it from here. I can see everything, and I can talk to you too. Amen. But I thank God for the chair. Amen? Come on, you still ain't sent me a bill, but I thank God for the chair. Amen? Come on, the servant is worthy of his hire. Amen? Amen. But we go through situations, and sometimes we face things that try to interrupt the call of God on our life. Come on, God has called us, but yet I'm going through this situation. Come on, I don't know the hardship. I don't know what you're facing or how you're facing it. But sometimes in our life, we face difficulties that pull us out of the call of God. And if we're going to evangelize, part of breaking and piercing through the darkness and letting our light shine is striving through situations. If we don't know how to strive through certain situations in our life, we'll be stuck in certain places where God wants to elevate us. See, some things we learn, like Flo and I learned that when we hit difficulties and challenges in our life, it's because God's about to elevate us and change the direction of how we live our lives. Sometimes we don't like it because we like the things to stay the same, just like most people. But God brings change in our life. And because that change happens so rapidly sometimes, that we cannot change it, that it happens so fast sometimes. It's like kids growing up. Amen? You used to be my baby. Amen? Now you, God. Come on, Lord, help me. Come on. It takes you through different phases of how you think and how you relate and how you deal with things because guess what? Things around me have changed. Come on. Now it may be how your finances situation. and how you're bringing in money and your income, and you got more bills than you got month, and you got less money than you need month to pay it. And something, some of those things change our life. And then we start what? Working overtime and double time and any time just to get the money I need because my life has changed. See, God keeps us stable in certain situations like that where we are not out of control, but we're very much in His control. See, that's why when things change, we can't just say, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this, how to face this. But God, He didn't bring you there and allow you to get there and not prepare you for where you're going. Come on, when Joshua took over for Moses, he already knew it was already in Joshua to lead this people. Come on, if God called you and He said, come on here, I need you in leadership, He already knows it's in you to lead. He's just waiting on you to what? Answer the call. I'm calling, but you're not answering. But when you answer the call, you make things different in your life as well. It takes you to another place where you never thought you'd be and never imagined you'd be. But that's okay, because God got you right where you are. Don't worry about it. Come on, He knew you'd have those kids. He knew you'd have those bills. He knew you'd have that responsibility. Don't run for it. Just stand up and say, here I am, Lord.
Yeah.
Come on, I can handle this. And guess what God do? He leads you. Come on, the scripture says He leads you beside still waters. That means it may have been raging before, but now He leads me beside the still waters. Come on, we can preach all day in Psalm 23, but He tells us, I'm going to lead you in still waters. That means where it was a rampage and raging before, guess what? I'm going to make it smooth for you. Come on, that's why when we come to Christ, it's not that God's going to make everything all right in 1 minute. Come on, but after a while, amen? Come on, if you hang in there, come on, you'll see the glory of the Lord. Come on, sometimes it's just a matter of sticking and staying. Come on, I know I'm doing this for the Lord, so guess what? Here I am, Lord. So I got to do what I got to do so that God can be glorified, amen? Come on, so even through all the situations we face, the call of God is still to reach lost souls for Christ. Come on, I know some of y'all saying, well, Pastor, I do my best. But you don't know what I got going on in my life.
Amen.
And nobody said amen. Come on, y'all. Y'all, for real? All right, y'all catch up sooner or later. Come on. Let me start again. I know y'all saying, Pastor, I do my best. But you don't know what I'm going through or what I got going on in my life.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Real people facing real situations. Amen. Come on. Job is messing with me. Things around me falling apart. Things not happening the way I think at home. Come on. My money is funny. And my change is strange. Come on. And the bill collectors keep calling my house. Come on, I don't know. You're right. But these things happen in real life. Come on. I know people need Jesus. Even though I'm going through. Even though I face adversity, these people still need Jesus. They still need the Lord. They still need the Lord. Come on. All I need to know is that we need to get out there and do the will of God. Come on. So do I and spend... See, what I do know is we spend too much time sorting out our own personal problems, and we don't have time, we think, to share the gospel.
Amen.
Come on, these men had their backs up against the wall, you know, threatened the beatings, being hands laid on them, but they still preach the gospel. Amen? Come on, since the people who are called by God will face a certain level of adversity in their life, we must be prepared with the armor of God and strive through the situations that come our way. Come on, let's look at one more text in 2 Corinthians. My time is getting short, but my message is not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Come on, I'm not going to be long. Come on, let's wrap this up. I just want us to get the message. Come on, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at verse 18. Let's start at verse 8. 8. Okay. Y'all there? Okay. Look what Paul said. Paul said, we are hard-pressed. And he's speaking of every soldier on the field. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in. Come on. Persecuted, but not. It is. Struck down, but not. Always, hear this, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Listen to this, the text. That the life of Jesus also may be what? That's the word right there. Live through me. Amen? Come on, there's a song out that says, make room for two. I know we don't sing it, but I know. And he says, so that you might live in me. Come on, I love it because he's equating his worship. That God, I live my life, but you live in me. And that's all Paul is saying. When we live for God, we're just asking God, live through me. Come on, I know I got a voice. I know I got a personality. I know I might have some things in my life. But you know what? The best thing I got is when you live through. Oh, come on, church. Come on, when the Lord lives through our life. Come on, he says that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Amen? Come on, for we who live, check this out, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That means that carnal nature in us is always dying off, but we represent Jesus. That who we are and our name and people knowing us dies off, but they know Jesus. Come on, they may not call on you because they know your name, but they may call on you because they heard of your fame. But the reality is, until we know who Jesus is, then really we haven't lived life. People know you. They know your characteristics. They know you've lied, you've stolen, you've cheated, you've done a whole lot of things. But do they know the Jesus in you? See, when people get to know the Jesus in you, all that other stuff starts dying off. I know it starts living, it's still living around in people's mind and how they think. But when you get closer to the Lord, then he gets closer to you. Scripture, John 15, when we draw nigh to God, God draws nigh to us. Then guess what? We start changing. Come on, we don't just dress up in a suit and talk to you about Jesus and read out this book because we want people to be funny. No, we want you to know Jesus. Come on, because if your life going to change and things around you going to change, it only is because you know Jesus. Come on, that's all he's saying. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. And sometimes we don't say nothing because we really don't believe. Come on, James says it. He said, some people have works, but where's your faith? But you show me your faith and I'll see your works. Come on, there's an evidence to have. There's a proof that happens in our life when we start drawing nigh to God, when we say, Lord, I accept you in my life. I want Jesus to dwell in my life. Then guess what? Something changes on us. And it draws us nearer to God and less of our flesh. Come on, I don't need to know about who went in the game. Is it close to that time? Some part of our flesh still got to die. It still got to die, John. It still got to die, Jerome. It got to die. It got to die. Come on, some stuff got to die off in us. It might have our affection, and some stuff got our attention, but when it takes us away from what Jesus has called us to, then we got a problem. Amen. Then Houston, we got a problem. Amen. Because then now something has drawn me away from what I call my true love. Come on, I'm singing my song. I just want you. That's my song. But if I want the Redskins more than them, we in trouble. We in trouble. Come on, they understood that. Paul understood that. He said, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. There's a purpose in it. Amen? Amen. Come on, so yes, don't think it's strange when we go through stuff. In the long run, it strengthens us for the assignment that God has for our life. Well, so what you went through there? So what that happened? So what they messing over you? So what, you don't trust and deal with them? So what is causing you a headache messing around with them? Don't think that's strange. That's really how God works. He allows certain things in our life to fall apart so that they can fall in place. Come on, that's why he left you. That's why she don't want to deal with you. That's why things happen in the way they happen. It's because many times we have to make sure that even though it's the adversity happen, that I'm going to stand strong for God because I need to be strengthened in this. Come on, some people say what don't kill you only makes you stronger. But that's only if you're in Jesus, amen? Come on, we got to make sure that what we go through strengthens us and don't make us fall apart. Because sometimes people do things and certain things happen in our life and it draws us away from where God has taken us because we cannot handle the hardship. Come on, some people go through real hardships. Come on, house being burned down. Come on, lost a child. I mean, I'm talking about real hardship. I ain't talking about you clipped the nail. I ain't talking about forget that. Your ends showing. I don't want to forget. Care about your ends. I get close. Oh, sometimes we worry about the silliest of things. Those ain't hardships. Come on, when you can't eat dinner tonight, that's a hardship. Come on, when the wheels fell off your car and you ain't no way to get to work, that's a hardship. Come on, if the kids ain't eating and they ain't had new shoes in 6 months, that's a hardship. Well, we got to know, identify what's a hardship and then what's just something that we go through in life. Well, need a new battery in a car. That ain't no hardship. Get a battery and keep on driving. Come on, some things we call hardships ain't no ship. Is that a word? It is tonight. No ship. Okay. Come on, we got to recognize what is and what is not. Because that's what keeps us going. Because what some people call a hardship, you say, other people say, get up, stop, get, let's go. You ain't been through nothing. And you whining. And you complaining. And you ain't been through nothing. Come on, they ain't had a chemo. And the blood coughing. They ain't had that. Yeah. Or the life-threatening things, the almost a stroke. They ain't had that. No. Come on, that got to be a different praise for us. Amen. A different enlightenment because guess what? We still here serving the Lord. Amen. Come on, somewhere the blessing comes in our life. Because we even deal with the hardship, but here I am, Lord. I'm still serving you. Amen? Come on, so don't think it's strange when we go through various trials in our life and stuff that keeps pulling against us. Come on, sometimes it's just trying to get you from your assignment. God has an assignment for each and every one of us. And until we fulfill it, we're still here. We're still here. You can be here doing nothing, or you can be here doing the will of God. So that when he hears and sees you, he says, there he is. Well done, my servant. Not depart from me. Because I don't even know you. Come on, we're going to hear one or two things. So we might as well get busy with the things of God. Amen. So that we can hear well done. Amen? Amen. Come on, don't think it's strange that we go through things. Just don't let it move our life. So church, as we strive to evangelize and reach others for Christ. Thank you, John. For Christ, don't forget to be passionate. Because sometimes we lose our zeal. But you hear how God renews our zeal. They had been beat up pretty good. And they were going through. They didn't know what this Sanhedrin council was going to do. Are they going to whoop us some more? Jealous? We don't know. But guess what? When they got free, they rejoiced and praised God. See, sometimes that's all it takes. Paul and Silas did what? Rejoice and praise God. Come on, it's just a common thing, and the scripture shows us that, yeah, you might go through hardship, but don't let that keep you from praising the Lord. Amen. Because it's in your praise that you get your divine deliverance, and you get your joy, and that joy that we need, it gives us what? Strength. Strength to carry on in the things of God. See, sometimes people don't have no strength because they don't have no praise. You're sitting around waiting on somebody to praise you up. No, you get your praise in. You be loud and everybody start, who was that back there? Who was that back there? Don't worry about who that is. Just keep on praising the Lord. Keep on giving him glory. Come on, don't forget about who God is in our life. Come on, because guess what? If we're not passionate, we cannot reach other souls. It's the passion of Christ. It's what God expects from us who have been rescued, who have been pulled from the muck and the mire. Read the scripture, 2 Peter 3:9. We've been pulled from the muck and the mire to what? To praise God. That's what he said. So that you show forth the praises of him. Come on, I want to shout on that one. We got to praise him. God didn't bring you out. He ain't restore you, clean you up, fix you up, just so you can sit there and say, hey, Pastor. Hey, Pastor. Nah. Praise the Lord. Come on, with all you got. Come on, today was a very good time to get in the presence of God. Because they praised him up. Amen. And that's what we got to do. Keep praising God. See, many times we forget who we believe and how we believe in our God. Come on. And then we find ourselves going in our own strength. And see, and that's the worst place to be, going in our own strength. You know, so that God forbid, in our own name, we become like the sons of Sceva. They went in their own strength and in somebody else's name. Come on, look at that real quick. I got 2 minutes. Acts chapter 19, and I promise I'm closing. That smells good, bro. Wow. Okay, Acts 19, y'all there? Oh, I'm already here. Yeah. Verse 11. Acts 19:11. Am I right? Let me see if I'm right. No, I'm not right. Is it 14? 14, y'all there? Okay, yeah. All right, I'm better than I thought. Amen. Well, let's start at 11, that's why. And Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. Acts 14? 19? Okay. I'm wrong? Where? No. Sons of Sceva, where we at now? What is it? 19? I don't see it. Okay. Verse 11? Y'all ain't helping me. 19:11. Okay. All right. He is alive. All right. Verse 12 then. I'm going, but I don't know where I'm going. Okay. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out saying, where we at?
You're not. Okay.
What I need to be in? John what?
You need to be in Acts.
Acts. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. It didn't move for me. All right. Man, thank you. Y'all, you was right. 1911. Not John 19. I got you on my mind, man. All right. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs, so don't be talking about them people with the handkerchiefs selling them clothes. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. So that even the handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant, that means they knew at this, or they work in this, the Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call on the name of the Lord. Come on now. Over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, they in the church, who did so. They did the same thing they saw the exorcists do. Why they do that? Instead of doing what the preachers say do, they doing what the soothsayers say do. Well, that's happening in this day. And then the man, here we go, 15, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Man, I laugh every time I read that text. Hey, he tried to figure out, well, okay, I know Paul because he done sent out many of our brothers, and I know Jesus because, man, he's the man, but who in the world is you? Come on, it's one thing to be known, but it's another thing to know him. Amen? Come on, they didn't know the Lord. And the man who had the evil spirits, this is good, he leaped on them, and we prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Now, come on now. One man beat seven men? I don't know. He was a bad, hey, that's a bad evil spirit. But the scripture said he beat them and sent them out. And everybody knew that this happened. Everybody knew it. See, real people reach people who have real problems. That's my second point. Real people reach people, real people who have real problems. See, sometimes we forget the fact that even though I know Christ and they don't know Christ, the problems they got, the same problems I got. The stuff they deal with is the same stuff I deal with. Come on, turn to Matthew. I'm sure about this. Matthew real quick. Come on, Matthew real quick. Matthew 7. Yep. Come on, Matthew 7. See, because sometimes we think because we save and we sanctify, the stuff that happened to them don't happen to us. Come on, we out there talking to people, hey, you want to hear about Jesus, come to our event. And you know, stuff messed up, car don't work, got bad tire, spare tire on there. And guess what? The person you met got the same thing going on. And they need the other tire you don't need. Come on, the same people you run up here, here's a flyer about Jesus. And kids wayward just like yours. Come on, stuff happening in their house just like yours. But here you are giving them a track, come meet Jesus, come meet Jesus. And not knowing I got the same thing going on. Come on, my husband all jacked up too. Your husband too? And you passing out a track to them. Oh, God can fix him. You better fix mine first. That's what we do. We're trying to give them fish and try to give them the bread. And guess what? We need bread too. That's why y'all keep coming to church every Sunday. If you ain't eating no bread, you wouldn't be coming. Come on. We just trying to help somebody else. And the reality is, it's not what we have, it's who we have. See, because although we have the Christ in us, living in us, and they may not, they may be living in the world, the challenge becomes, how do I convey to my, even through my stuff, to make sure they're getting their stuff? See, that's not our responsibility. If they come to Christ, it's what God wants to do in their life. Come on, some people who come to Christ, after me, they still going through stuff that God is delivering me from. Come on, so we got to make sure that God works in people's lives. It's not us trying to make sure, well, let me show you this. I can't show you how to be a good parent when I haven't been. I can't show you how to be a good husband when I haven't been. Come on, that's hard for me to do. See, that's why we have to get to a solid place in Christ. So that when we are going, don't mean we don't have situations, but that situation don't have me. Well, I might need an extra paycheck, but guess what? I'm still going to serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, I might need some new shoes. I might need some healing, some divine healing in my life. But that don't stop me from coming to you. Because God is a healer. He's a miracle worker. Promise, light in the darkness, my God, that is who he is. We can sing that later. Can't we sing that later? I'm sorry, Jerome. Like, get this done, man. Get this done. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. I'm trying to get down. We in Matthew 7, 24. Let's go up, son. Oh, yeah, I'm right. All right, y'all ready? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. I would liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Somebody say, that's me. I'm going to raise my hand. That's me. I built my house on the rock. And guess what happened? And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall. For it was what? Standing on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a what? Foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house. And it what? It what? We ain't even got to go there. It just fell. Come on. This is my point. Guess what happened? Floods came and winds blew, whether I built on the rock or I built on the sand. Come on, church. I'm trying to drive this point for 2 years. Just because you a church and they not, don't mean the floods don't come. Don't mean the rains don't come. And don't mean stuff don't beat on your... It don't mean that. All it means is they're going to fall and you're going to stand. And you're going to stand. Because after you do all you can do to stand, you keep on standing. Come on, that's the difference in our lives. That's the difference between me going out, passing out a track, and somebody not passing out a track. Because I've made a decision. I'm going to stand on the rock. And I'm going to build on the rock. So guess what? Stuff still might happen to me, but I ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. It can beat on my house. The rains can come, but I'm not going nowhere. Not going nowhere. Not going nowhere. So we have to make sure that we are real people who deal with people with real problems. Come on, don't act like you're not going through like other people. You'll turn people off. They think you perfect. They think you got it all together. They think you don't fuss at your wife. Not me. Not today, anyway. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jerome. You got some oil to anoint me, man? Anoint me, man. Get me straight. I need to get anointed up here. Amen. Come on, we got to be real people, you know, who reach people with real problems. See, sometimes we try to skirt around and try to find the people that look like, oh, yeah, I want them in my church. Oh, I want them in my church. I'll give them a fly, but, man, they just got out of that. Nah, I ain't messing with them. Come on, that's the wrong way to be. Because that might be the very person we need in the ministry. That might be the next person that leads in the ministry. But yet we was hands off. And we didn't want to deal with them. Come on, that's not evangelism. Evangelism, God sends you to the lost. I don't know who that's going to be. I'm glad it was me one day. Come on, I'm glad it was me one day, but I don't know who it might be tomorrow. Come on, it might be a single mother with 7 kids that need benevolence. Come on, bring her in. Come on, it might be a man hooked on crack. Got a pornography addict. Come on, bring him in. Whosoever will. Well, why are we going to discriminate who God wants to bring through? Well, sometimes we want people that will dress up and look right and be right and jack that skirt up. You got that skirt all down. Oh, we got all kind of issues. I had the backwards. Don't worry. Reverend B was like, nah, we put that skirt there. I know. I got you. I said up. She said, oh, no, down, boy. That's why she in the church. We get them later. Don't get them coming through the door. Let them keep the shirt scared jacked up. Come on, y'all having too much fun up here, John. Come on, we can't be discriminated against people. We got to let people come as they are. Come on. I know everybody, they change it, and everybody come to church on Sunday with a nice suit and all that. But that don't make us. We're just presenting because we know men looks on the outer, and God looks at the heart. See, God looks at the heart. So that's all we want. God see our heart and see that we are real people that deal with real situations and to have a real heart to see other people come to Christ and that can change their life. Come on, and sometimes people think, well, my life all right. My cars work, my kids up, and they look honorable. They doing this. Yeah. Wait till God come. It's a good place for you. Come on, we don't want to see you perish. No. Your natural life, okay, that's cool. You're making money, everything fine, you live on a good street and neighborhood and all that good stuff. But that don't make us. That don't make us. What makes us is that Christ is found. And I found him. So as we close today, Father, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that revives and replenishes our life. Where would we be without you, God? I thank you that you are a way maker. When I was lost, couldn't find my way, God. you picked me up, turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. I love it, God. Because as I look back over my life, come on, I love this worship today. Because as I look back over my life, I can see how your love was guiding me. Hey, even though I've done wrong, you never left me alone. But you forgot. I could jump out my seat. But you forgave me. And you kept on blessing me. Because all I said is, forgive me, Lord. Come on, many mistakes I made. Many challenges I've been through. God, you forgave me. And now we forgive you. We forgive others as you forgive us. So we thank you, Father, for your word today. And even though we go through situations and our life ain't perfect, it's not a crutch to stand on that many use. It's not a crutch to stand on. It's really an alibi of not trying. So I may not be perfect. That may be a truth. But also the truth is I'm trying my very best. Oh, that ought to be our confession. I may not be where you want me to be, but I'm further along than I was. So God, meet us that I need today. So today you may be here. And God speaking to your heart because maybe you've fallen in some walls and some situations in your life that have not made you passionate about evangelism. Oh, God wants to assure you and anoint you to break every yoke, every chain in your life. Come on, he not only is a way maker, he's a miracle worker. I love that song. Promise keeper. Light in the darkness. My God. That's who you are.